Glory to God.
Well, I'm going to continue with this little topic called worship. And I don't keep going over something like this just because I don't know what I want to preach on. There's something the Father is purposing to get into your heart. Last week we talked about those four disciplines, and we try to stress upon you the importance of spending time praying in the Spirit and private worship and meditation by simulation fasting. We kind of went over those, and then we talked about how people that have how intellect is not an inoculation against deception. In these last days, I really feel that there are going to be a lot of Christians deceived. And it's not because you don't have a Bible. It won't be because you don't go to church. It'll be because their hearts have not been changed and the indelible word of God is upon them. Amen. So tonight I'm going to talk about, you know, many Christians think that they're strong spiritually. You know, when you get done worshiping God like we just did, you think, man, there is nothing that I can't do. Satan, fill your hand. I'm ready to just wear you out. And the thing is that you need to know how strong you are in the Spirit. Amen. There are a lot of people that think they're strong. And now I realize these messages may get me in trouble, but I'm going to teach them anyway. Bless the Lord. Hey, did y'all hear me praying for Joey a while ago? You know who Joey is, the guy in the wheelchair? He's in the hospital. Pastor Boyd told me about it, so he's in the wheelchair. Hey, before you close that door, brother, make sure it's unlocked, because otherwise they can't get in. And then we also want to pray for Mary Fallon. Mary has been struggling with anxiety, and so we just need to pray for her that she'll get through this bout of anxiety. Yeah, the gentleman that sits in the back row, Kirk, do you know Michael's last name? Is it the guy in the wheelchair? He just had an operation on his, I think he lost a big toe, is that correct? Okay, so we want to make certain that we continue to lift him up in prayer, and but I think that's about it. So just continue to pray for those people. Yes, ma'am? That's right. Stan Jones is in the hospital. He suffered a heart attack. So we want to make certain that we keep him lifted up in prayer. Okay? So again, let's kind of zero back around about this topic about how spiritually, how strong are you? Many Christians that they think they're ready to face some of the most ferocious demons and drive them out. You know, when you're in a classroom sitting like this, the anointing of God is flowing. You feel that you are invincible. But I'm going to warn you about something. Before you start playing with devils and demons, you need to do a simple test. You know, I know someone one time that felt like, I think the Bible talks about how this young man said he wanted to cast out these demons. And he says, I cast you out by the Jesus that Paul knows. And the devil says, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who be you? And it said it beat him and it sent him out naked. So you might want to be careful before you start tackling demons and devils. You know, you need to know what you're doing. It's not just as simple as you think. Okay, but the thing is, if you've been spending time with the Father, I heard a song this week, and I thought it was apropos. It says, I want to know the one that saves and not the Savior. I want to know the one that saves. I want to know him. I just don't want to be saved, but I want to know the one that saves. I don't want to know about healing, but I want to know the one that heals. I want to know him. And if there's anything that at Dominion Training Center we endeavor to teach you is you have got to know who your God is. Amen. Christians that I talk to, they've got big Bibles, they've got concordances, they've got references, they've got all these things, but those things don't help you know him. Amen. Now, let me rephrase that. Those things don't make you know him. Now, they may assist to some degree. But do you know how you get to know your Father? The same way you get to know anybody else. You spend time with them. And most Christians don't spend time with God. You want to tell me? I'm too busy. You are too busy. If you don't have time to spend with God, you're too busy. The devil has wrapped you up, and he's just all he needs is a little bow on top of your head because he's got you just right for the pickings. You're going to have to learn to spend time with God. And here's what I did. I put it in my phone. It was like an appointment. And I wasn't going to break it unless I had broken my neck. You know what I'm saying? I was going to keep that appointment no matter what, because I knew that was the only way that I was going to make time with God. Now, as time went on, guess what happened? I fell in love with spending time with God. It was no longer I had to be scheduled. I was looking forward to it. You know, I may miss the morning prayer time, but I'm going to catch him in the afternoon or midday. I'm going to find a way to get him in to get some prayer time in. You know, if I have to pray on my way to going to a meeting, I'm going to spend some time in prayer. And I'm not going to feel guilty about it. Why? I don't feel guilty about not meeting with someone because something has come up. I didn't feel bad about that. He understands that. He knows that. He saw my heart. I am trying to spend time with him, not just trying to be a goody-goody two-shoe. I'm trying to spend time with him. I enjoy being around him. Amen. You know, I don't mind waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and spending an hour with him. Now, see, most people will think, 2 o'clock in the morning? Man, I'm knocked out. Well, okay. But I promise you, if somebody that you like, that you adore, you'll get up and you'll spend time with them. Okay? It's not an obligation. It's just something that you like to do. I may be tired that day, but you know what? I don't complain about it because I know I spent time with him. There's something he wanted to talk about, so I'm glad he woke me up. But here's a safer way to know how strong and how mature you are in the spirit. Spend time in private worship. Because when you start spending time worshiping God, man, the demons that say you can't have an anointing, they'll come out. They don't want you spending time with him. They don't want you telling him how much you love him. They don't want you telling him how much you worship him and how much you adore him. The first thing that demon, the first thing your flesh is going to tell you, this is boring. How can anybody sustain this for any length of time? My grass has grown 4 inches since I've been worshiping God. I got to go take the trash out at midnight. See, you think I'm being funny, but this is what your flesh does. Your flesh does not want to spend time with God. If I were to stop this meeting right now and I said, we're all going to sit quiet and we're just going to sit before the Lord. We're not going to move. We're just going to worship him. Half of you'd be gone in 5 minutes. Don't shout me down now. Don't shout me down. The flesh does not like to sit before God. Okay, well, maybe not this crowd. Okay, I'll give you some slack. He's giving you some slack. I don't know. All I'm saying is this. Do you do it on your own? Do you do it on your own? Can you sit there and go, God, I'm going to spend this time with you. I'm just going to be still and know that you're God. Just know that you're God. Can you sit down in a can you sit in a seat and pray in the spirit for an hour or two and not be fidgeting around? Can you do that? See, your flesh doesn't like that. Your flesh will begin to rise up. Okay? It'll begin to say, I just don't want to be here. So what am I saying? I'm saying these are the ways you begin to grow spiritually is by spending time before your Father, giving him praise and giving him glory, especially when your flesh doesn't want to. When you begin to spend time with God like this, your victories may seem non-significant, but your defeats will not be so monumental. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, when you can begin to sit there and begin to worship God, now you're developing yourself in the realm of the Spirit. Now you're beginning to understand what it means to be mature. Now you're ready for God to use you. Now you've equipped yourself to be able to arm yourself and defend yourself. And when you do run into those tough times, you don't call somebody. You just sit down and begin to talk to him. Father, I need to talk to you about this. I don't understand this. Something's not right about this. And then he'll begin to commune with you. The place to test your faith is to stay in worship, stay in his presence, stay and challenge. Now get this. The jungle of your flesh. There are a lot of monsters in your flesh. Now, how do I know that? Because the world was very wise, or the world was very smart in making sure they put those things in your flesh. You got stuff in your flesh some of you've never seen before. And here's the thing. It'll come out at the wrong time. This is why sometimes I don't like going to funerals. Because I know, boy, the flesh is going to rise up. How many of you know who Jensen Franklin was? Is. Jensen Franklin was at a funeral, got done preaching, sat down, and these two sisters got up and just walked toward the casket. And they were standing there, but they were kind of like fumbling with each other. And when they come to find out, they were fussing and fighting over who was going to get the ring off of the mama's finger in the funeral. And so you think that doesn't happen? Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. What is that? That's flesh. That's flesh that has never been dealt with. These are church people. These are people that have been in churches for a long time, but they've never learned how to deal with their flesh. So the place to confront your flesh is in a place of private worship, and you stay and you challenge your flesh until your flesh begins to relinquish its hold that it tries to have on you. If you really want to face some ferocious demons, go into worship and stay there for several minutes. Just keep praising him and watch your flesh begin to squirm a little bit. Your flesh begin to get tired, and it'll go, I'm sleepy. I want to go to sleep. I don't want to do this. I want to do something else. This isn't interesting. And you think, well, we all get tired. That's your flesh. You can make excuses for it, but it's your flesh. That's not my flesh. When you begin to enter into that place of worship and you start feeling that resistance, here's the key. Don't abort. Don't stop. Don't stop. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just know you're breaking through. Why? Because where you are now, you're not going to be there very long if you don't stop. But if you keep starting and stopping, you remain in the same place. But if you'll keep pressing in and keep pressing in and keep pressing in, you'll begin to challenge these things. Private worship is the best place to challenge anything in you that's not subject to the Spirit. Let me give you an example of one thing. This is where we're going tonight. It's called unbelief. Many Christians want to believe God for things. Many people, you know, it's been a year now since Harvey. What did Harvey? And the thing is, we wondered, well, why didn't that storm stop? Well, I can tell you what Jesus would tell us. What would he tell us? No. What would Jesus tell us?
Unbelief.
Oh, because of your unbelief. This kind comes out but by prayer and fasting. The power twins. See, that's what he would tell you. This kind comes out but by prayer and fasting. This kind of what? This kind of demon? No. This kind of unbelief. The reason that devil wouldn't come out was because of unbelief.
With me, he would say, serves up.
Now, no matter how dry it gets, just don't abort, because This is the best place to challenge yourself. When your worship gets dry and you feel like he ain't listening, you feel like he's turned his back on me, that's the best time that you're getting in. You're not getting in when you have all these goosebumps and anointing flowing and you think, oh, this is great. And now where does that place happen? Where does that place take place? When you most time feel like, woo, you're just a grooving and a jamming and you're having a good time. Sometimes I look at some of y'all and I'm going, careful now, you're not back in the clubs. Careful now, you're about to get back in the club action there. But I hear you, that's where you're from. But see, that's not when you're really getting in his presence. That's not when you're really getting to his presence. You're getting into his presence when it just seems like nothing is happening. It's dry. That's the time you keep pressing in. You keep pressing in. You keep pressing in. You keep pressing in. You keep worshiping him. You keep telling him how much you love you. You love him. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. Why? That's the time that he's really receiving your praise. Now think about this. You have a God that crossed the divide to come and lay down his life for you. So now why would he not want a fellowship with you? Think about that. That doesn't make any sense to me. Man, when the Holy Spirit pointed out to me one time, I'm going, wow, our flesh has really done a number on us. It really has. It's got us to the point where we think that just because we're not up and having a good time, that God's not listening. But on the contrary, he is listening. Amen? Amen. Private worship is the best place to challenge anything in you that's undisciplined. Now, many people ask themselves this question, why can't God do this for me? Remember what we said many, many months ago. He cannot love himself for you. In you. God cannot love himself for you in you. To love him, you must first receive his love and have his love become part of you. That's the whole point of private worship, is that you can begin to go where his love is. His love is on the inside of you. How many of you know that? The love of God has been shed abroad on heart by the what? By the Holy Ghost. The day you got born again, God put his love in seed form on the inside of you. Now, here's the thing. You're going to have to challenge the things that are in you that have not subjected themselves to the Spirit of God. You've got to challenge those things. The reason why I call it uncommon ground is because not many people are challenging these areas. We're kind of like just floating along here thinking, well, you know, everything will be all right until we hit that place where we really need to press in and make contact with God, and we don't know how to get there. And the reason why we can't get there is because we've never conquered the thing that keeps us from getting there in the first place. So just because you whine and cry before God and pout and get upset, that's not going to entreat the presence of God. It's not going to get it. What's going to entreat the presence of God is that he begins to know, you begin to know who he is, and you know he's already listening. You don't have to entreat his presence. He's already there. But it's your flesh that keeps telling you, he ain't here, he ain't here, he ain't listening, he ain't here, he ain't listening. It's the biggest lie from the pit of hell. He is there. He is listening. He's doing everything he can. I keep saying this, and I'm going to keep saying it, and keep saying it until you get it. He is working 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He has the answer to your problem, and he's trying to get it over to you. He's not the one working against you. Now, if we could take a vote, or if I were to ask you this question, what is working against you? It's your flesh. It's your flesh. 37 metric tons of flesh. 37 metric tons of flesh. Now let me ask you a question. If you could get a, if you could have, if you can get rid of it, why haven't you gotten rid of it so far? Because I know what I can get rid of that flesh. Really? Well, get rid of it then. If you could get rid of it, trust me, you would have already done it. You can't do it. Okay? When God brought the children of Israel to the promised land, their Canaan land, he commanded Moses to send spies to investigate the land. And when he returned, this is what the spies said this to Moses. And you can read it in, I'm sorry, David, I didn't give you these scriptures tonight, but it's okay. In Romans 13, verse 27, it says, "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey." So God was right. The land does flow with milk and honey, God. Man, we see all this big fruit. In fact, the fruit was so big, they had to have two guys carry a cluster of grapes draped over a pole. That's how big that fruit was. And they said, "Here is the fruit." But the people who live there, now get this, but the people who live there are very powerful. Now, how did they know they were very powerful? "The cities are fortified and are very large. We even saw," here's how they knew how powerful they were, "we even saw the descendants of Anak there." Now, who was Anak? These were giants. These were the giants. And when they saw that offspring, they went, "These folks are too big for us." Now, this is a type and shadow of something. This is a type and shadow of something. You ain't got it yet. Preach. Canaan land is in type and shadow of the promised land that God gave you, your salvation. When they crossed over that river Jordan, that represented their new birth, which you get born again. You are in a land now that's free, but it has giants in the land. It has inhabitants in the land. Who are those inhabitants? Anger, division, strife, jealousy, resentment, prejudice, yada, 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 yada. We have all these giants in the land. And the question is, how are you going to get these giants out of the land? You going to take your 357 Magnum? You going to take your AK-47 and go over there and kill them all? How are you going to get these giants in the land, out of the land? Well, what did God tell them? God said, "I will go," he told the Israelites, "I will go" what? "I will go with you." Is God going with you? He's right there in the middle of your promised land. God is right there in the middle of you. He sent the Holy Spirit, gave you a new nature. He's right there with you. But now what did, well, let me teach this and not just go by memory. Canaan land is a type and shadow of our promised land. It is a land that too flows with milk and honey. The land that you live in now, the salvation that you have from God, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. What is the milk and honey? What is the milk and honey? It's the promises of God. That's the milk and honey of the land. But there are also giants in this land. Who are the giants in the land? What is the giant in the giants in your land? Your flesh. Our giants are the things that we have not been subjected to the Spirit of God that lives within of us. One of our biggest giants is what? Sin. But it has already been what? Defeated, destroyed. Romans 6:14. And just like the Jews, just like the Israelites, we too have decided to do what? Live peaceably with our flesh. Wow. Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. The other night I was discipling someone, and I said they were going through some kind of a sickness. And I said, "Do you realize that Jesus bore that on the cross?" And she went, "I've heard that before." I said, "Really? Now, he bore it on the cross." I said, "So if he paid for it, Why are you paying for it? Oh, she stood up a little bit. I said, let me make clearer than that. Let's say we go down here to Tony's and we order a steak, a big old thick ribeye. How many of you like ribeyes? I like me some ribeyes, boy. Thick old ribeye. Green beans or asparagus and mashed potatoes. You hungry? I know I am. So you order your ribeye. And the waitress comes over there and he's got a hamburger patty and some french fries. With a bottle of ketchup and sets it down so elegantly on your table. What do you say? Send it back. Well, now, wait a minute. Hold up here now. Wait a minute now. That's not what you tell your sickness and disease. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching real good. You don't tell your sickness and disease, whoa, I didn't order this. And the devil says, oh, your flesh goes, yeah, you did. Here it is. Huh? Why are we allowing the devil to double dip? Don't shout me down now, church. I know this is hard preaching. I get that. But you are going to have to hear this if you want to be able to stand out there in Galveston and say, hurricane, cease. We have got to get this stuff out of us. We can no longer sleep with the giants in the land. We've got to sweep them out. They're the ones, the flesh is the one that is stealing the power, is constricting the power within us. We've got to get so upset that we will do whatever it takes to get these giants out of our land and quit making excuses for them. And the best way to get the giants out of your land that we're talking about here is private worship. And you sit there and you begin to worship God and you keep worshiping God and you keep worshiping God. Even though your flesh is going, I don't like this, this is boring. I don't want to stay here. I want to go watch television. I want to go walk the dog. I want to go cut the grass. I want to go shopping. I got to say I'm going on today. Ah! Those giants are ruling and reigning in your land. The giants are ruling and reigning in the church, folks. And somebody's got to stand up and say, you know what? Enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Boy, I got one clap there. The rest of the church is going, oh, me. But just as God commanded the Israelites to conquer their giants, he too has commanded you to conquer your giants regarding the flesh. The Father told the Israelites that he would go with them. It is a type and shadow of who? The Holy Spirit that lives within us, and he'll purge us of the giants in our land. There is a way that we can choose our own battleground that literally inflicts torment. How many of you want to inflict torment on the devil? Huh? When I found this out, I said, I want to inflict torment on him. This is why I enjoy private worship. I enjoy sitting there when my flesh is going, you're not doing anything. This is not going to change your problem. Shut up. I give you praise. I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. I glorify you. And the flesh goes, you really think you're chasing your giants away? I give you praise. Now, what does Psalm chapter 8, verse 2 say? Verses 1 and 2 say? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. Go ahead. God has ordained praise to do what? To steal the enemy. When you begin to worship God, when you begin to just begin to tell him how much you love him, all of a sudden, those devils and demons have got to go. You are doing something that's tormenting them. You are stealing them. You are ceasing them. But see, you want to see bells and whistles. You want to see all this stuff going on, and in the realm of the spirit, the devil's being drug out with his head by the Holy Ghost. He's dragging him off the scene, and you're going, boy, I wish I could see some more action. There's a whole bunch of action going on. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. If you choose to battle the ground by engaging in these disciplines that we talk about, they will not leave you the same. You'll be able to wage an effective war against the devil and always win. In fact, worship is stronger than fortified steel. Now, everybody just left me here, so let me bring you back and go over to Acts chapter 16, verse 14. And I remind you about two men. I think it was Peter and they were in prison. Who was the ones?
Paul and Silas?
That wasn't Paul and Silas. Was it Paul and Silas? That was Peter. Huh?
I don't know.
Acts 16, verse 14. Somebody pull it up real quick. It's when they got thrown into prison because they cast the devil out of this person that was, It was Paul and Silas? Okay. Excuse me. I said Peter. Paul and Silas. And the thing is, they got thrown in prison. Their feet were put in stocks. Is that not right? They were bound and chained inside of the prison. They were inside the prison, and then they were also bound in chains. Were they not?
Yes, sir.
And where did they go? Did they go in there and go, oh, God, we're out here trying to preach the gospel. We did what you told us to do. We cast the devil out this girl. And man, they threw us in jail. And God, I just don't understand why we were doing your will. We've been doing everything you asked us to do. And why did we get thrown in jail? Is that what they did? No. The Bible says they got in that place. They got in that place. Bound to each other, bound to the wall, bound to the ground. And they began to lift up their voices and go, we give you praise, Father. We magnify you. We glorify you. We honor you. We bless your name. The Bible says, now, and they were not going, we give you praise. We worship you. We honor you. No, they were so loud. The Bible said that the other prisoners heard them. And the Bible says that they got so intense with their worship that the ground began to shake. The jail began to crack. And it says the steel doors just flew open. The chains fell off of them. Private worship is stronger than any fortified steel. Yes, sir. Amen. They were in bad shape. In other words, they just got beat. They just got a beat down, and they still went and praised God. Say again. Still didn't stop from praising God. Now, how many of you were beat? How many of you were beaten and put in chains this week? Let me see your hands. You were? Not spiritually, but physically. All right. But the point I'm making is this. You have not gone through very much that you could not spend time worshiping, praising God.
Amen.
Now, it may have seemed as though you had gone through all that stuff in the natural. I mean, you know, we faced some pretty intense battles. But the bottom line is you continue to give God praise. Amen?
Amen.
So praise and worship, if praise and worship is able to break change, what chance does your puny little problem have? Huh? Doesn't have any chance at all of surviving your praise and your worship. Glory to God. Now, the title of this message was called Private Worship is a Fellowship Gift. Private worship is a fellowship gift. At the beginning of the teaching, we talked about praying in tongues was a revelation gift. And how it establishes an anointing of truth that cannot be penetrated. And once the Holy Spirit has established your heart as your teacher, he will deflect every dart of error or false teaching. How many of you remember that? See, the thing is, once I establish the Holy Ghost as my teacher, I don't have to worry about being deceived ever again. Every time someone says something that's not quite right, and I challenge you to test it. If I say something and you're going, that didn't sound right, well, put it to the test. Test the Spirit. Okay?
Amen.
I'll challenge some of the top Bible scholars I wouldn't say Bible scholars, but some of the top teachers in this city. Come by and check it out. If I teach anything wrong, I want to know about it. Because I don't want to be wrong.
Amen.
But every time I do, I prepare my message, I'm listening to the Spirit of God. I'm listening to the Spirit of God. What do you want to say? How do you want to say this? Private worship is a fellowship gift, and it assists you in getting to know your Heavenly Father intimately, but it also deals with how you can begin to receive from God. How many are looking to receive something from God? You ought to put up both hands and both feet. It is a gift that will cause you to know the Father like you have never known Him before. Private worship is a gifting in our new nature, which can bring us into His very presence, and it will sustain us there until we come to know and be just like His character. It is a fellowship with Him around truth. Truth. And His fellowship is the place where all things are possible to him that believes. That's where He fellowships. When you initiate this gift called the fellowship gift, there are things in your flesh that will threaten you to quit or else. Now, what I'm about to say now is very, very important. And is that these times is when you're getting to the Father the most. So you thought that you were being resisted and that you weren't making any progress. This is the time that you're really tearing the devil up, man. You're making a lot of progress here. You must understand that this is the place where you are now. And if you will not stop worshiping God, this is only a temporary place. You will not remain in that place. You'll move on. Most people allow their flesh to talk them out of worship. I don't like that worship. I don't like that praying in tongues. Pastor Craig, I don't think you got to pray in tongues. I don't think worship is that important. Listen, you don't know much about the Holy Ghost. You don't know much about the things of the Spirit. In these times, you're engaging a war against things that are not subject to the Spirit of God, like unbelief, lack of anointings, doubt, fear. You're waging an effective war against those things. When I'm in private worship, I'm going to give you a whooping a day you've never had before. I'm taking you straight to the woodshed. Straight to the woodshed. And I begin to worship God. I begin to worship God, and I keep worshiping God. Private worship is the fellowship gift that not only will you get to know Him in the Spirit, but you'll become like His very character. And the nature on the inside of you will begin to reveal the Father to you on a level that you have never known before and never have experienced. Ladies and gentlemen, private worship is a way that God will begin to experience Himself with you. You'll begin to know Him like you've never known Him before. His presence will begin to change your life when you start knowing Him like this. Through private worship, the Father initiates the kind of fellowship from us that we were born to experience in heaven while we are here on the earth. Your worship means more to God here on the earth than it will mean when you get to heaven. In heaven, there won't be any resistance to your worship. Here on the earth, there's a resistance to your worship. But in heaven, you won't want to do anything else but worship God. Now, next week, we're going to talk about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. But if you'll sustain yourself in worship, He'll change you into His truth. If you'll begin to change your, if you'll begin to sustain your private worship, the Father will begin to turn you into truth. In truth means you can stand on His truth and return His love to Him. In truth means we have been, we have received and have been changed into a truth that He has already advocated. In truth. In truth. What does He say? Let me give you one of those in truth. All things are possible to him that believes. He'll begin to turn you into that. There is nothing in our lives, there is nothing in our bodies that is stronger than the redemption that has been sealed by the blood of the Lamb. Nothing. There's nothing that you need to be redeemed from. You've been redeemed from anything that can harm you, anything that can overtake you, anything that can stop you. You have been redeemed. There is nothing that the blood has not redeemed you out of or into. There is nothing that you can have that He has advocated in His promises. There's not one thing you can have. There's not one thing you can't have. There's not one thing that you can have. Nothing. There is nothing that you don't have or nothing that you cannot attain. Many cannot access what He is advocating in His word. This is when private worship comes in. See, many times we have this hard struggle with God. I know you promised me this, but I don't know how it's going to happen. It's not your job to figure out how it's going to happen. Your job is one thing, and that is to fall in love with Him and to continue to worship Him and continue to praise Him. His job is to do the rest. Quit trying to do jobs God. Quit trying to do job God's job. Job's God. Quit trying to do God's job is what I'm trying to say. Quit trying to do His job. Your job is to simply to worship Him, to magnify Him, to praise Him, to worship Him, to give Him praise, to love on Him. His job is to work out all the details. Now here's the problem. Your flesh begins to crawl and it begins to go, but nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. Your worship isn't changing anything. You're not being changed. Everything's the same. It's the same before you came in. It's the same as you went out. Now, since when did you become a spiritual being that you could look into eternity and tell what was going on? Huh? When did you do that? You don't have that ability. The only ability that you have is you know what He's promised in His word, and if you believe that, that will come to pass. But I can tell you this, if you'll believe the doubts in your heart, those things will come to pass as well. So in that regard, yes, you are very prophetic. But you stay before God, you keep worshiping Him, and you allow the worship to begin to change who you are. When you walk into worship, you're walking in there and you're thinking, I need something from God. Listen, when you're in there and He begins to pour His love out on you, His character out on you, trust me, He's changing the desires of your heart. He wants you to have the pearl white Lexus, but for the right reason. So you want a pearl white Lexus so you can ride around, let everybody know you made it. You want everybody to know you, hey, I got mine. That's not why He wants you to have a pearl white Lexus. He wants you to have a pair of white Lexus to let the world know you serve a God that is more than enough. That's why He wants you to have a pair of white Lexus. See. He wants the world to know that you serve a God that will restore your family back together. Put everybody back in church. Put everybody on their knees. Put everybody serving God the way they should be. Why? That's what He wants to. That's His desire to put in your heart. But you may go in and thinking, I want these people. I want all my family members serving God. But the way you want it is selfish. It's selfish. But the way He'll change your desire in your heart, it'll be because He doesn't want anybody to perish. And He'll begin to pour that love in your heart, and that's how you'll begin to see that. And when you begin to see it from that point of view, that's when He'll begin to turn your family members around. So you want them to go, you want him and to go over there, knock on their door and go, slap, 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 you're going to church in the morning. It's not how God operates. God didn't operate that way. But God has a way of making things happen to all of a sudden, those people that you've been praying for, they'll begin to go, I am done with this. I am through with the world's way. I'm turning my life around. But that's what private worship, it begins to change your point of view and how you look at those things coming to pass. It's not from a selfish standpoint, it's from a godly standpoint. You know, sometimes when I'm in prayer, I pray this prayer, God, make us one. Make the church one as you and Jesus are one. But that's not a selfish prayer. I don't want us to make us one so we're not fussing and fighting. I want us to make us one so that we're all going, we give you praise, Jesus. We worship you. We magnify you. We glorify you. We honor you. We bless your name. When you're doing that, guess what? When you get the vertical right, the horizontal will be a whole lot easier. See, I don't think we're ever going to come in the unity of our doctrine. But the Bible doesn't say that. It says come into unity of your what? Of the faith. Unity of what?
Faith.
No, it doesn't say that. The faith. What is the faith? It is who we have become since we have believed. Isn't that the faith?
Yeah.
It's not faith. It is the faith. For the unity of the faith. Why? What is the faith? I belong to him. I'm his son.
Amen.
I'm praising him because I'm his son. Mm-hmm. I belong to him. I worship him. He gets all the praise. He gets all the glory. He gets, not me, him.
Yeah.
Now, I don't have to be mad at you. Why? Because you got the same place in the kingdom as I have. I'm not worried about what you got. I'm worried about where I am in him.
Amen.
And when we have that kind of attitude, we're not really jealous of this guy anymore. We're going, we're all on the same level.
Amen.
Do you realize that every Christian is on the same level? See, when you got born from your mother's womb, we were disadvantaged. Some had no eyes, some had no feet, no legs. Some were smart, some were not as smart, and so on and so on and so forth. But when you come into the kingdom of God, we're all on the same plane. The white folk don't get better results than the black folk do. It don't work that way in the kingdom of God. Because we're all one. All that stuff goes out the window. So now tell me this. Why is there so much prejudice in the church? The church is the most segregated organization on Sunday morning. The black folk worship in a black church. The white folk worship in a white church. The Hispanics worship in a Hispanic church. Why is that? Because we're all trying to come into the unity of our doctrines and not the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith says it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. It's who you are on the inside.
Yes.
And if you have the blood of the Lamb on you, then we're all the same. I'm no better than you. Listen, listen, listen. My title means nothing. My checkbook means nothing. My status in life means nothing.
Amen.
Many people are going to be shocked when they get to heaven and realize there is no supreme race. There's no supreme race. We're just a people of God, and we get along, and we love each other. Why? There's only one law in the kingdom in heaven, and that's the law of love.
Amen.
And we love each other.
Amen.
We love each other. Why do we love each other? Because we first love him. And when we love him, that love that we have in our heart, it flows out to those around us. When that love is so full, I can't hate him because he's got a bald head and I got hair, or vice versa. It's not about all that. What it's about is that I see him as a son of God. And he is as precious in the Father's eyes as anybody else in this entire place.
Amen.
You're going to be surprised how many people are going to receive rewards that some of the people that you saw didn't receive. Some big name pastors Maybe not receive their big reward like the person that all she did was she come in and she would just sweep the floor. But while she was sweeping the floor, she was worshiping and praising God. And she is praying for the body of Christ. She was doing her thing as unto the Lord. And people walked by her, walked on her beautiful mop floor, put tracks on it, and went, yeah, you got to mop it again. And she'd go back in with a good heart and just mop over it again with a good heart. That's the person that's going to be sitting with a crown this big compared to your little bitty flake that you got on your head, thinking, I should have had a bigger crown than her. It's not going to happen. But there are going to be rewards.
Amen.
And you don't get a reward based on your title, based on where you live, what neighborhood you live in, based on what kind of car you drive, based upon the people you hang out with. You don't get a reward on that. You get a reward on if you've been hanging out with him.
Amen.
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 Are you listening?
Amen.
Praise be unto God. You need to spend time with God until you begin to wear your flesh down. See, the reason, next week I'm going to talk about, why do you have a hard time believing? Huh? Why do you have such a hard time believing God? You know his word is true, right?
Yes.
So you're standing his promises, but they don't come to pass. Well, let me ask you a question. Here's the first part of that this message. Whose fault is it?
Yes.
All right. Now, remember, you said that. So when I come out with my guns blazing next week, don't tell me, Pastor, slow down. You're going too fast. No, you know you're the blame. It's your flesh that's in the way. How do you deal with flesh? Praying in the Spirit will help you deal with flesh. The other way is spend time worshiping God, especially when your flesh doesn't want to give him praise. Why do you think nobody wants to worship God privately? Huh? Why is that? You think it's a universal thought? It's universal, all right. It's because we all have a universal flesh. I may not call it universal flesh, but we all got the same kind of flesh. I'm no different than you. When I first started worshiping God, I didn't like it either. But I didn't let my flesh tell me, no, you got to stop. I just stayed right on in there. I just stayed right on in there. My flesh started telling me, you're doing it all wrong. Well, I guess he better correct me because this is how I'm doing it now. Your flesh. In these last days, I believe that's the church is going to be the church's biggest enemy, is the flesh. The Bible says in Psalms, I mean, I forget where it's at, but it says, when we see the devil, we'll look at him narrowly and we'll say, is this the one that made nations to quake, that caused all these prop? This little guy? And it all comes down, he knew how to rattle your cage. He knew how to get a hold of your flesh. We're going to tackle this dude. Father, we give you praise for tonight. We thank you for it. We magnify you. We glorify your name. We honor your name. Father, we thank you for those that are here, that those that are not here that need our prayers. We lift them up. Father, we all have already called their names out, but I pray over them and I release the life of God in their bodies now in Jesus' name. I command sickness and disease to go, and I command the life of God to come out of their spirits and into their bodies and make them ever whole in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the food that we're about to receive. Sanctify it for the nourishment of our bodies. Bless our bread and our water and take every sickness and every disease from the midst of us. Father, I thank you that you're going to bless the birthday boys and birthday girls and all those that had a birthday in September. Bless them, Father, in a special way. Father, we ask you to bless the giving tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, ma'am.